Sci Center, April 2nd, 2023.
Before we start our study circle, I want to give a little bit of introduction what we're doing tonight. Hi everyone on the Zoom. So, what page is it?
Page 50.
Okay, so we had many retreats that you all know. One of the retreats was about the Four Brothers One. And then the Four Brothers, too, we had it at the Most Precious Retreat at Lake Tahoe. And before we went there, they were going to put a skit together. And Bahar, Kavi, and I went to Barnes & Noble's, and this is what it came for the Four Brothers, too. And they turned it into a really nice program. Very, very effective for those of you that didn't see it. It is on the website. Go ahead and read it. Every so often we stop.
To continue the discussion of the Four Brothers, we are going to dissect the self, the reason for the value and importance of recognizing the Four Brothers is to gain freedom. Being aware of this is like having a map in our hands, which familiarizes us with and teaches us about life and how to live. The brothers are mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual drawings. This teaching teaches us how to react to our emotions, such as fear and anxiety. It teaches us what to do if we are very sensitive to this world, or what to do with worrisome thoughts or physical problems. These brothers, in all four groups, show their ugly or beautiful faces from the time we are born, and our sadness or happiness in life depends on these relatives or the group of four brothers. These four brothers represent the beliefs and concepts that we carry from lifetime to lifetime. In any case, considering the Four Brothers Part 1 article, now we realize that it is not our fault, and sometimes these relatives lose their discipline and cause discord and disharmony within us. We have also been shown how to conquer them by using the tools and methods that have been given. Therefore, by becoming more familiar with the tools and practicing them constantly, we can lead a much more peaceful and beautiful life. Now, I would like to talk about the war among the relatives that is taking place within us. As it is said in the Hindu religion, and as Baba explains in his lessons on the Bhagavad Gita, the war of Mahabharata that was between the Pandava and the Kaurava families is between the positive and the negative families. Krishna represents our true being, and Arjuna represents the self, the individual self, that is separated from the self. Capital S. Krishna asks Arjuna, why are you afraid? Why do you have anxiety facing these relatives? Why do you let yourself be so lost? Why are you so overcome with fear? And why are you so afraid of facing these relatives? Don't you remember how much misery they have caused you? Don't you remember how much they frightened you and your family? Don't you remember how much they have shaken you up? Arjuna replies, but they are my family. What does this mean? It means they, the brothers, have been born with me, and even though I hate them, I am afraid to destroy them. What am I going to do with the feeling of guilt? And how is my life going to be after them.
Okay, let's just stop here and let's explain what's going on here, particularly for Kathy being the first time here. This is all symbolic of what goes on in one's mind. The four brothers, just the symbol of saying that we are born with different tendencies, different beliefs. And throughout the life, we have to master this. We have to not bear with it, not invite them. And unfortunately, we get so used to an uncomfortable life that we don't even, it doesn't even cross our mind that there is a solution to what is happening. By recognizing the physical brothers, which is not only my body, but my parents' body, my brothers, and whoever comes to my life, those are the physical brothers. And then we have mental brothers, which is very repeated thoughts, tendencies, approach to life. Then we got emotional, which is our reaction to things and all of that. So there, and then we have spiritual brothers, which is, in my case, and some of you, is finding a teacher or being interested in a spiritual life or wanting to explore the inner life rather than being curious about the outward life. And this way, it really explained what's going on. And the war of Mahabharata, which is a very famous war in the Hindu religion, symbolically is between good thoughts and bad thoughts. And we get so scared of our own self that we don't even think that we can kill them. Meaning, and then the killing in our tools means totally being unreactive to our thoughts until it passes by. So this is symbolically is very, very important to know what goes on in us. Because as we all know, we always reach out as a curiosity with our five senses. And every so often we have to turn this back and find out what is going on in the kingdom of within. What is going on within our own self? What is it that is being asked? So it needs contemplation and it needs interest. Move on.
The brothers and their families form our ego, individuality, identifying...
Ego is not just pride. Pride is just a branch of it. Ego means not knowing yourself and thinking you're just a limited a person that lives, have a life from A to Z. Okay, go on.
What does this mean? It means that they form the illusion of I am the body.
Just I am the body, I guess.
They are sent by the Maya, the illusory world. They are sent by the imagination. They are born with our birth to keep us in darkness, ignorance, and ruins.
Yeah, more.
When Arjuna was fed up with these relatives who made his life unhappy and chaotic, Krishna ordered him to destroy
Krishna
them.
Krishna symbolizes God within.
Facing Krishna's order, Arjuna said that he cannot kill them. At this time, Krishna suggested to Arjuna that if he wants to be freed, he needs to listen to him and destroy them, since they must be killed. From Krishna's point of view, these relatives, the four brothers, were nothing but a mirage. But from Arjuna's point of view, the four brothers were real, because Arjuna imagined himself and his four brothers to be the body and the mind. For this reason, Krishna put the invisible sword of wisdom in Arjuna's hands. This is the same invisible sword of wisdom that is talked about in the last question and answer of Most Precious. Krishna gave Arjuna the ultimate wisdom and told him to hold on to this sword, and that anytime any of his relatives from any generation or dynasty came, to destroy them with this sword of wisdom. This is the Mahabharata battle that every individual has in his existence, whether it is his mental, physical, emotional, or spiritual existence. Fighting this battle is the most important endeavor in our lives. Therefore, this is the most important issue that has to be addressed. Now, how can we go to this Mahabharata battle and destroy these relatives forever? The first thing is to practice the trust meditation. What does that mean? It means that we hand over the reins of the chariot to Krishna or the self. The chariot which we use to ride with wild and crazy horses. Horses that would run all over the place and make our lives difficult. What does this mean? It means letting go and surrendering. Not a superficial and false surrendering, but letting go and surrendering with reliance on the tools like trust meditation. What is trust meditation? When we came into this world, we were accompanied by a promise in our existence, with our existence, with our being, with our body, and with our relatives. Trusting this promise is able to save us. That could be our charioteer. What is that?
No, it's up here. The way I got this trust meditation in a meditation in 2004 or 3 or 4 was that every person within their own heart, there is a promise that is no different than the existence of God. But the promise asks us to not take thought. If we take thought, then we are battling everything on our own. But if we release taking thought, then that will take over.
Trusting this promise is able to save us. That could be our charioteer.
Stop here and see if anybody has comment.
Anybody have any comments or questions?
Or experiences?
I've shared this before, but when I was little, there was a commercial on TV. I think it was Volvo, and it said, "On the road of life, there are drivers and there are passengers." And I immediately knew I wanted to be a passenger. I wanted to be in a car that was driven by somebody that I trusted and I could just relax. And this promise is that for me, every time that I use it. I can sit back and relax in any situation because somebody else is in the driver's seat.
Wonderful.
Can I share something?
Sorry,
I'm like so emotional. I haven't read that article recently, but I see that how our life is this article. Sometimes, for me, one of the brothers are getting so strong, and I really think that this is coming to me. How can I live without this? Mm-hmm. How would be my life? And actually, this is, I don't know how much is it's mental, but the answer is, haven't you seen that how much misery it made for you?
Yeah, exactly.
And I have to really, really, really trust without any shake, 100% trust, and just look at every thought and feeling and emotion that is coming, and it makes my day completely different, my thought completely different.
Are you practicing?
Yes, I have to sit. I have to, first I have to have so much trust to sit and just looking at this thought and emotion until they get vanished and experience everything that you said.
If you notice, all of us, that an emotion or a thought that has not been looked at, they keep coming. You will see the same reaction, the same thought, the same words, the same painful consequence. And so now we know that by looking and just staying and sitting on the promise and letting things come and go, that actually it works better, right? It works better than it would normally. Yeah.
I was just thinking about this as we're reading this, and like I'm looking back at my life on this path, and I realize that that trust, when I experience it and I really do, which means I really don't take thoughts, it has never failed me.
Yeah.
And it's never let me down. And even if the situation needed a little more time to iron out, the pain always went, and then the things just worked out, and I'm really, really grateful for that.
I think it's easy to be so accustomed and so in the clear about where our life is now and everything that has happened for us and what has changed. But it's really no small feat. So even we might think, okay, this is our life now, not by rehashing anything old, but by really seeing that this is our life now. And it's so different from how it used to be, the suffering, the unnecessary suffering, the mental battles, the emotional battles, the outside battles with people at every job I had, the relationships. But it's easy to not really lose sight of the bigness, but it's easy to think because this is become our life, it is such a normal life for us now, but what has taken place is nothing small or ordinary.
Thank you. Yeah.
I used to think that I remember a long time ago that my brothers were what was going to protect me or my strengths or how to get around in the world. Like the tools I had to use, but I couldn't have been more wrong. And so now, where I am now after 10 years more, of slowly dripping the truth, now it's like it's almost subconscious, like I have this kind of tension or something inside, and I keep telling myself, let it go, let it go, let it go, but sometimes it doesn't even verbalize it or into anything really that I can think about, but it's still kind of there, but it's, I know what to do with it.
I also think that now something that is so unique on this path is that when something comes up that really gets my attention and really bothers me, like I know this is, my first thought is I know what I need to do with this. Uh-huh. I need to take this to the trust. I need to listen to those audios. And it's like there's a path forward versus like a initial wall of pain. It's like there's a way through it.
Any questions so far about this article?
Sairam Sat, I have a question. You just mentioned about releasing thoughts. What does it mean to release thoughts? Because for the past 2 days, I was having a repeated thought, which is very silly, and I was trying to resist it or stop it, but I was unable to do that. The more I resist, the more I got that silly repeated thought. Thank you.
Yeah, because your stop is happening in your mind. There is a conversation about stopping. So that hardly ever works. When you don't go with the thought, there is no conversation or a reminder. You just stay. Relax, stay. You know, it's not like I gotta get rid of that. No, you don't resist thoughts. And we don't push it away, right? And there is an acceptance without mixing. You see, you accept your uncomfortable, your silly thoughts, not as something that you need to get rid of it or find a solution or remove the cause of it, which is most of the time somebody else in normal cases, but to just relax and be okay, you see. So you don't put up a war. Now this Mahabharata war, translated in the practice of a spirituality, does not really mean to go and have a fight. It just means to hold the invisible sword of wisdom, which the sword of wisdom say, as much as you can, if you cannot, just accept yourself the way you are. It's okay to have this uncomfortable thoughts, and there are times that you just can't, you know, not get involved. But the times that you relax and you're okay with everything that comes, and then you know that it will go, it moves you out of the equation of being a part of it. You see what I'm saying? But if you say to yourself, I should stop, who should stop? Is another thought, right? And if it does work, it's very, very temporary. Because you're giving it more attention by not wanting, by wanting to stop rather than just stop. And that happens to all of us where we want a quick result and we say, okay, I won't go with this thought. Oh, sure. And then
it's all over right there.
Yeah. And sometimes we get bored with peace. It's like, oh, I'm so peaceful for so many days. I should do something to disturb it.
Which brother is that one?
It's mental.
And I want to add one more thing, Seth. So after 2 days of having repeated thought, I woke up in the middle of the night at 2 a.m. because of the thought. And I was like, oh my God, it's that silly thought again. What would I do? Then I thought about your teachings and Swami, and I just let it go, and it helped me a lot. Thank you, Seth.
Yeah, exactly. You just, if it's too silly, just let it be. I mean, but just letting it be is a stop meditation. In any reaction that the thinker has to the thought, start this energy of back and forth. And then if it gets long enough, you start judging yourself. That's pretty bad. It takes longer to come back, and that's a human trait. I mean, nobody is without it, but we have an invisible sword, and we use it when we can, and when it's a little bit hard to use, then okay, be okay with it. be really okay with it.
And you have given us so many tools.
Yeah, I've given myself so many tools. It just happened that you guys were around to have it. I just wasn't satisfied with the life that people live. I just wasn't. I felt like, how can everybody talk about their pain and discomfort and nobody really does anything about it? It just goes on and on and on. And I seriously felt like there's something wrong with God, because it just doesn't make sense. And then we all came to realize that it's just not the fault of perfection or God or love. It is the fault of thinker believing, a big gap of separation. Yeah, and we're all marching forward together. And that is the best way to... Today I was thinking, when you wake up from your dream at night, you wake up in the morning, you have freed all the images you had in the dream. So when you have awakening in this dream, you have really released a lot of people that are affiliated with you. We leave the rest for next week. Thank you.
Thank you.
I was listening to audio today where you said there's no going back. Yeah. That the wheel is in motion going forward. It's never going to go in reverse.
No. No. At times it feels like it. But no.
I have noticed that sometimes my emotions are related to how much attachment I have to the situation or the event. And when there is this with silence, many times those attachments somewhat disappear, but it is still very difficult with emotions, especially when it comes to family, where you still have strong attachments. This morning I actually woke up and I listened to the trust meditation twice because I really needed it. And that is one of my meditations that I always go to.
Those of us that have kids, which all of us except for Aida and Mira in this room, we need everything we can get. Because we're in it for a lifetime. So take the truss out. Take this one out. I'm doing it myself. You know, the thing is that we use it. We know an art of living. But it's not just for this lifetime, really. What other art can we learn in this lifetime that would actually bring us peace and relief? I don't know. Any other art that we learn, we have to use the art of living to control it. Like the art of being a mother. Okay, I'm a good mother. You guys are a good mother. Now we have to use the art of living to make sure we don't suffer as a role of a motherhood. And then we're a wife, right? Okay, we play the role of a wife righteously, and then we have to have tools to withstand our husband at times. Or wife. So it seems like in any relationship, attachment, desires, this art of living actually is a shield for damages that we can have. So namaste.
You said we are here to unlearn.
Yeah. It's funny.
relationships are the most challenging because there is this developed 100-faced personality here and another one just here, and they want to get along, which is great, but it changes. Well, it was a very, very beautiful gathering.
Thank you.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Thank you. Remember one thing before we go. And we all forget, particularly as a mother, I know I do at times when there is a problem with a member of my family, that the oxygen that we talk about in the plane, put the mask on yourself first before you serve your surroundings. So by meditation, silence, right, Kathy? Silence. That's the only way we can nourish ourselves from the roots. This is it. If you think somebody else can nourish you, it is so wrong.